Good morning. Welcome to Beautiful Valley Church. And Merry Christmas to us all. In 1 John chapter 4, it says this. In this, love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, that we might live through him. God's gift of love is most clearly seen in the sending of his Son, and not just in his sending, but the purpose of his sending. Today we celebrate the advent of Jesus Christ, the fact that God came into the world that he created in the form and in the way of a man. He came in a very usual way. He was born as a baby. And as we know, he didn't remain in that cradle. He became a man. And after living a perfect and sinless life, he offered himself up once for all men, the perfect sacrifice for all sin. He was crucified. He died. He was buried. And he was resurrected. Jesus paid it all so that all who believe in him would have eternal life. You see, this is the biggest, the grandest, the most wonderful news ever told, ever shared. This is the plan. This is God's plan for the salvation of mankind. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. God made a way for man to be freed from the consequence of sin, which is death, and to instead live forever by faith in Jesus Christ. There is no bigger or better story ever told. And it's a wonder, I think, it's just a wonder, to consider how God chose to report this, the most wonderful news ever, to the world. I mean, when you think about it and you realize that all of time is separated by a point in time, an event in history that is divided by something called BC and AD. Everything before his Christ, or before his birth, is before Christ, BC. And everything after is actually comes from a Latin term called Anno Domini, which means the year of the Lord. So all of time is measured from the one event that we're celebrating here this morning, the birth of Jesus Christ. I mean, when you think about this kind of news, it demands a right voice, a right representation. It needs to come to and go out from those who are credible, those who are trustworthy, those who are educated, those who are popular, those who are well-known and well-liked. Because whatever happens, when this story goes out, those it goes to and from where it will spread, it's so important that nothing would distract or take away from this most important story of all time. If we're going to spread this story, we've got to be sure that whoever's spreading this story is credible and the ones that will get it out. Right? But man, look at God. It doesn't seem to be what he felt was most important. What God seemed to feel like was most important wasn't that they went to the most likely of people. As a matter of fact, God sent the messages out to the most unlikely of people. Isn't it good for us this morning that we who are here this morning are some of the most unlikely of people? That for whatever reason, in the unlikeliness of who we are, God has chosen us and called us to himself, that we might believe in Jesus Christ and be saved. So open your Bibles to the book of Luke. You know, Luke is an interesting man. He was a well-educated man. He was a doctor and a companion and loyal friend to the Apostle Paul. And in his introduction, he says something that I think is really important for us to note as we enter into his letter to this book. Starting in verse 3 of chapter 1, Luke says, "Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that have been taught." So Luke's purpose is to give an orderly account of the life of Jesus Christ and the claims of Jesus Christ. By his own testimony, he is going to go to the extreme, to whatever levels he must, to be sure that whatever he's communicating to Theophilus in this letter is, in fact, what is true. Like an investigative reporter, he wanted to be sure that whatever he said was, in fact, what happened. That is the glory and the source from which this letter comes. And one of the great mysteries of the Christmas story is how God used angels in the story. Angels, what is an angel? Aren't they mysterious to you? We know that they're real. We know that they're created beings, created by God. They're superhuman beings. They're meant to be used by God as his ministers and his messengers. But when we look at, see the quilt over there? That's kind of what we have as a picture of an angel. Amen? But what do you see when you think about an angel? What do the shepherds see?
My wife.
What was that?
I said my wife.
The shepherds.
No, what do I think when I think of an angel?
Oh, thank you. Carl says when he thinks of an angel, he thinks of his Merry Christmas. The first angel sighting in Luke's gospel is Gabriel, who was sent to a man named Zechariah. And as we enter into Zechariah's story, he is a priest. His division of priests are on duty, and they're serving at the temple. And on this special day, the lot was cast for Zechariah to go into the holy place to burn incense. This lot that fell to Zechariah, it wasn't some kind of coincidence. It wasn't done by chance. It was a sovereign God who had a specific message to tell to a specific man on this day. Yes, Zechariah, the lot was chosen to him, but God had something to say to him. Who here knows that God can and will move you to where he wants you to be if he has something to say to you? Has God ever moved you to where you need to be in order for him to speak to you? Well, that's what's going on here with Zechariah. God had something special to say to Zechariah, and so he anoints him. He makes sure the lot falls to him. He gets him into the holy place, and then we're going to pick it up in verse 11 of chapter 1. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense, and Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. Amen. That seems to be a constant. Whenever an angel shows up, people are afraid. So if you think you see an angel and you're not scared to death, then you're probably not really seeing the angel. Although God's word does say that there are times we entertain angels unaware. So you may have seen one, but you didn't see this one because the fear of the Lord fell on Zechariah. So the scene is set. Then in verse 13, it says, "But the angel said to him, 'Don't be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call him John.'" So the grand announcement that God had for Zechariah was that he, God, had heard his prayer and that he would answer him by giving him and his wife, Elizabeth, a son, and they were to name him John. That's where we are so far. Let's read on in verse 14. "And you will have great," or "you will have joy and gladness, and many will," I always like to add "great." Have you noticed that over these 8 years? I use "great," the word "great," a lot. But you know what? I just think God is great, and I think his word is great, and I have a heart. So anyway, I should never add anything to the word of God. Amen? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. "And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord." Now, I want you to know I did not add that one. "He will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." You might think, well, this is great. Great story, but what does it really have to do with Christmas? It has everything to do with Christmas. The Old Testament prophets foretold the one who was to come in the power of Elijah to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord, to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Savior of the world. So this John, who would be a joy and delight, it says he would be great in the sight of the Lord. And when you read through the Gospels, what you find is that Jesus says this about John the Baptist: no other man born of woman is greater than him. Is that great? Do you ever think about the reality that Jesus was born of a woman? What is that all about? How great was this guy? He was great in the sight of the Lord. This John, who was never to drink alcohol, who would be filled with the Holy Spirit from his birth, is John the Baptist. He is the one that God sent. Now look back up to verses 6 and 7, because I find this very interesting. Luke is describing Zechariah and Elizabeth, his wife, and this is what he says about this couple. He says, "And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years." This couple was faithful to God their entire lives. They're now well advanced in years. The NIV says they were both very old. I mean, think about that. They must have been praying for years, perhaps even decades, for a child in the hope of having one day a baby. Luke says that they were blameless, and yet God said no. Over and over and over again, God said to this faithful, righteous couple, no. Until now. Now that all hope is gone, being too old to conceive, God again says no. But it's a different kind of no. Because it was the world that was saying there was no way that this couple could ever have a baby. She's too old, she's barren, he's too old, it's not going to happen. This is a joyful no. He says, no, you're not too old, and I'm going to bless you with a son who will be a joy and who will prepare the way for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. See, what seems impossible with man is not with God, because nothing is impossible with God. God first sends Gabriel to communicate to an old priest and his barren, beyond childbearing years wife the unlikely news that they would have a baby boy, one who would come in the spirit of Elijah to prepare the way for the coming of our Lord. Next, Gabriel is sent to a more familiar Christmas character, a young girl whose name is Mary. She's very familiar to all of us. Mary, did you know? I love that song. Mary, did you know? She's engaged to be married to a man named Joseph. Her name is more familiar, but the message that she receives is no less unexpected, no less unreal. It was a very unusual, very unique message. And this is what the angel says. This is Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 28. It says, "The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be." I mean, if you thought that God's communication to Zechariah was unlikely, listen to what the angel now says to this Mary. Starting in verse 30, and you can read along. It says, "But the angel said to Mary, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.'" Wow! How will this be? Mary asked the angel. "Since I am a virgin." I'm a virgin. And I'm about to be married to a man that I love. And you're telling me I'm going to have a baby? How can this be? The angel answers, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." I think that this is one of the clearest statements about the identity of Jesus Christ. He is God who came in the flesh. He is called the Son of the Most High because he is the Son of God. This is the angel's announcement. Jesus is coming, and he's coming through Mary. He's going to be given the throne of David and will reign forevermore, just like it said in the Old Testament. He is the King of all kings. He will be conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He is the Holy One who was to come. He is the very Son of God. And Mary was an unlikely choice. If you're going to communicate this all-important, all-grand message to the world, in that culture at that time, she was a poor, young, unmarried woman. Nobody in that community at that time would have expected anything extraordinary coming from somebody like her, especially not in this way, that she would birth the Savior of the world. But God chose her. And I want you to consider that. Because I think that he's calling all of us to minister in some way. And I think sometimes what we do is we listen to the world around us and we look at ourselves and we do this self-evaluation and we determine that we're lacking the abilities or the giftings or the education or the whatever to be able to serve God effectively. But every member of the body of Christ is meant to be a minister. Listen, if God would choose Mary to birth the Savior of the world, he certainly could use us to do ministry in the church. Amen? We all ought to be doing ministry as members of the body of Christ in the churches of which we are part. And we can do that. God can use us all if we will just trust in him. God sent his messenger to Zechariah to say that John the Baptist was coming and he would prepare the way. He went to Mary to say that she would give birth to Christ's child who would show us the way. And then the angel of the Lord appears to some shepherds as they are watching their sheep by night. And starting in verse 8 of chapter 2, now in chapter 2, it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." Remember, this is the most fantastic news of all time. God is coming to the world he created in the form of a baby, conceived by the Spirit and born to Mary. He will be called the Son of God, the King of Kings. He's about to be born in the city of David as prophesied. And the very first public announcement of his birth goes out to some unnamed, unknown, unimpressive, anonymous shepherds. Lowly and humble. God's plan. Why not the company of the great high priest? Or at least those who are working in the temple? What about the scribes who would spend their entire lives copying the scriptures? Wouldn't they be a more likely group to receive this first communication of the birth of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world? Why these? Because I think that it shows us God's call for all people of every class and of every kind. Some believe that these shepherds were watching over the sheep that would later provide sacrifice at the temple services. They were meant to be slain. And if that is true, it would seem appropriate that these shepherds watching these sheep would go to see the one lamb, the Lamb of God, the perfect lamb, who would be sacrificed not just for a time, once for all, the Savior of the world. To Zechariah, the message was that John would come to prepare the way. To Mary, it was that Jesus, the Son of God, is coming. And to the shepherds, the message was that the Messiah has come. The Messiah is born. He is here. This is what we're celebrating today. In verse 10, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you great news,'" or good news of great joy, "that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find the baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds then said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. The good news of great joy that is for all the people is that the Savior had been born in the town of Bethlehem. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. You'll find him there, wrapped in cloths and laying in a manger. Now think about that. The shepherds are out in a field nearby. They're watching their sheep as they're supposed to be doing. And these angels shows up and they give them this remarkable story. And I'm thinking this story is a little bit hard to believe. That the Savior of the world would show up and then he'd be in Bethlehem lying in a manger wrapped in cloths. If I'm a shepherd and I'm out there, I was afraid when they showed up. Now I've heard the story and I'm still a little confused. What? I'm confused. Perhaps the message seemed a bit strange to the shepherds. So what does God do to affirm it? He sends a choir of angels singing praise to God. Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth in this child. Jesus came to bring peace. Our first picture of Jesus is of a baby in a manger. But that can't be our last. Yes, it makes a beautiful Christmas scene, but then this helpless baby grows up to become a man and to live an amazing life of perfect obedience to the Father. He died on the cross for us, for our sins. He ascended into heaven, and it's one day he's coming back to the earth as the King of Kings and Lord of all lords. One day Christ will rule the world, and one day Christ will judge us all, both the living and the dead. And our eternal destination depends on what we believe about Jesus Christ. Christmas is a special time of year. The impact of the birth of Christ carries on today like none other. I mean, just think about the world. At some level, the world shuts down on today, this day. So why is this so important? Especially in a world that denies the reality of who Jesus is at so many different levels, and yet we still shut down. Why is it so important? Three reasons. There's more. I'll give you three. Christmas is important first because God came to earth. I mean, it's one thing to send a messenger who's an angel. It's a whole other thing to show up personally. Amen? This is what it says in Colossians 1 about Jesus. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. He is God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. So God communicates to everyone generally through his creation. All anyone has to do is take an honest look at all that's been created to come to a reasonable response of looking at that to know that there has to be a creator. That's God's general revelation to the world. But better yet, he communicates specifically by his coming. Jesus is God. And his coming to the world is why Christmas is so important. The second thing you need to know is he came for you. He came for you. The relevance of Christmas is that God came to the earth he created. The reason for his coming was for you. He came so that you could know what he was like. Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." So as we're studying who Jesus is, we're learning who God is. He also came that we might know how we ought to live. Jesus said in John 10 that he came that we might have life and have it abundantly. His word gives us purpose and meaning and reason and direction for our lives. His word teaches us the reality of who we are before a holy God and who God is and the vast expanse that separates us. And he came so that we might learn to trust him. You see, when you look at the life of Jesus as he's interacting with people, and you see his compassion and his care, his concern for others, and his servant's heart. When you see his humility and the depth of intimacy he has with those that he encounters, as you learn more and more about the life of Jesus Christ, you get a righter picture, a more right picture, a more right... Is that even right? You get a right representation of the glory of who God is. And the more that you come to know God, the more you come to know Jesus Christ, the more you trust him. You can't not trust somebody as wonderful and precious as Jesus Christ. Amen. Christmas is about the advent of God in the person of Jesus Christ. The reason he came was for us. And his purpose in coming was to communicate his love for us and how we can come to know him and then to bring glory to his name. You see, we're all born into this world needing a Savior. We need to be saved from the sin that separates us from God. There's a price that must be paid for our sin, for our wrongdoings. One that demands the wrath of God as its payment. And God's justice must be served for any to be set free. And the good news of Christmas is that God communicates to us that Jesus came to set us free. He did take our sins upon himself, and he did endure the full wrath of God in our place. Jesus Christ did bleed, and he died. He was buried, but 3 days later, he rose again victorious. Praise God! That whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ is the gift to all whoever will receive him. If you haven't yet received Jesus, my hope for you, our hope collectively for you, is that you might receive him even today. If you have received him, may you live this day and every day with him in mind and for his glory. God sent angels to communicate to Zechariah. He sent them to communicate to Mary and to the shepherds. And he sent his son to say something to you personally. My hope is that by God's Holy Spirit, you might hear the voice of God calling you to be his, to believe in Jesus, that you might come home to him this Christmas day. Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Father God, as I look out at these dear people, I just want to thank you. Of all the gifts that Pam and I have ever received, none has been greater than these who are now before us. We thank you, God, for their faithfulness to you. We thank you, God, that you've allowed us to be a part of their lives over these last 8.5 years. We praise you, God, that this is a church with great leadership, with good biblical understanding, with a commitment to a focus on Jesus Christ and him crucified and resurrected. And I thank you, Lord, that on this Christmas day, you gave Pam and I the gift of being here with those we love. So as we go about our day today, Lord, celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, help us to always remember Jesus is the reason for this season. Help us to love one another in a way that brings glory to your name, Lord. And as people about us, as they come into our lives and we see that there is a need, help us to respond in kind, to love them with a Christ-like kind of love. And Lord, if there are any here today who have yet to come to that place of belief, of salvation, We who do believe pray together for their souls, that you might open their eyes to understand the reality of who Jesus is, why he came, and the relationship they can have if they would place their trust in you. We love you, Jesus, and it's in your precious and most holy name that we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.